In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
In a deli.
Sure I know. Through there, buzz 4D up the stairs, second apartment in the back. Honey, Mr. K could use a refill.
This is my third stop here today. She's not answering. I leave them by the door.
But oh, like leaving a pound of brisket in front of a schnauzer.
Maybe you can hold it and keep some poor guy's heart from breaking.
I'll do you one better.
Ooh, she give you her keys?
I got everybody's. I own the building. Mind the register, boy chick. Mind it. Don't help yourself.
But,
Garnet.
The owner and the delivery man enter an apartment.
She has a cat.
Yeah, it smells like about five cats.
They look around.
Oy vey.
The bloody body of a woman is lying on the floor. Later.
She was in that movie, Where All the Kids Are Dancing.
Fame?
The other one. Turns out today's her birthday. The flowers were from her folks. I read the card. Nice people.
All right, thank you.
Eddie approaches Lenny and the medical examiner, who are crouched by the body.
Doc says a single 357 round to the chest did the trick.
Went right through her. Right in the middle of lunch, too. Looks like Kung Pao chicken.
Yeah, be sure to get back to us on that.
There's a back alley entrance, but the door was locked and alarmed, and there's no sign of forced entry.
When will people learn that a good friend can be your worst enemy?
She was some kind of actress.
Yeah, slash musician.
An electric guitar is displayed on a stand.
Small neck, it's made for a woman's hands.
I always wanted to learn guitar.
It's actually a bass, a Rickenbacker.
Is that good?
It was good enough for Elvis.
Oh, now you're in my neck of the woods.
I'm actually talking about Elvis Costello.
Who's on first?
Anyway, fits with the rest of her gear. Pricey.
A neighbor said this used to be home to one of those plasma screen TVs.
Those things go for like $6,000.
For $6,000, it ought to make coffee and do the dishes.
Someone takes a picture of the body. The New York City skyline is lit up at night. Police officers work the city streets. The word law moves in front of a squad car, and a man is led away in handcuffs. Detective Lenny Briscoe is wearing his tie loosened around his open shirt collar. Detective Eddie Green is at his desk, and Lieutenant Anita Van Buren is shown. The word order appears in front of a courthouse, and a U.S. flag waves. Scenes from a courtroom are shown. Executive Assistant D.A. Jack McCoy is leaning on his desk. Assistant D.A. Serena Sutherland is also at a desk, and D.A. Arthur Branch is in an office. Law and order. The detectives and the assistant D.A.s walk down a hallway together. Traffic crosses a bridge at night. In Van Buren's office.
Lucy Dolan, 32, single, unemployed actress.
In that business, if it said employed, I'd be shocked.
The ME says that Ms. Dolan had food in her upper GI. The Chinese takeout receipt was date and time stamped, so the possible time of death is somewhere between noon and 1, 3 days ago.
So a girl gets shot over a busy restaurant and no one hears anything?
Her apartment was soundproofed. When she wasn't not acting, she was not earning a buck as a musician.
Whatever her calling, the audio and video equipment in her apartment was worth at least $50,000.
Someone must love this girl.
Home of Mr. and Mrs. Walter Dolan, Morristown, New Jersey.
Today is her birthday. You know, we sent her flowers.
Lucy was lost. The music, acting.
Stop. She was good. Remember, we saw her in...
something... off Broadway.
How did she actually earn a living, Mr. Dolan?
A job here, a job there. Lately she was doing comedy, stand-up. I guess it was going well.
Why do you say it like that?
Lucy was no spoiled brat. She really worked hard. But sometimes we helped her with her rent or bills.
We didn't mind. What else is it for?
She hasn't asked for help in quite a while.
So, the stereo equipment?
In the CD player? What's that got to do with this?
Nothing, really. So, where did Lucy do her stand-up?
She never wanted us to see her. I assumed it wasn't the most respectable club around.
Her agent would know.
Eddie's looking at Lucy's publicity photo.
Lucy had a killer body. If only she was a couple inches taller.
Her folks said her comedy act was taking off.
Yeah, my mom thinks I'm Swifty Lazar. Lucy MC'd late night at the Laugh Riot out on Staten Island. Not exactly talking Leno material.
Does she have any close friends, boyfriend?
There are two types of clients, detective. One consults me before they buy a tube of toothpaste. The other, I'm lucky if I get the cell number.
And Lucy was the latter.
I never heard from the girl. Half the time I didn't know what color her hair was.
You think she might have been using that killer body to make some money the old-fashioned way?
I hope not. But it's a tough business, what can I say? She wouldn't be the first.
Laugh Riot Comedy Club, St. George, Staten Island.
Ask me what the key to comedy is.
Timing.
You can say that again.
We were talking about Lucy Dolan.
She could have used a new watch, if you get my drift.
Oh, so you gave her a regular gig out of the kindness of your heart?
Guys here at 2 a.m. aren't here to laugh. They're here to look.
And Lucy Dolan was nice to look at.
A 5 in Manhattan is a 10 in Staten Island. Anyway, she gave me notice. Friday was going to be her last day.
We're just wondering why a barely employed comic would suddenly bolt from her one paying gig.
Are you hinting at something here?
We were wondering if maybe that late night crowd offered her a little more than you did.
That sort of stuff does not go on in my club. I don't need this.
Hey, man, look. My partner didn't realize that you were so sensitive. Let me ask you something. It gets late, performers run out of gas, maybe they use a little something to lift the spirits.
First she's a hooker, now she's a junkie. Let the girl rest in peace, why don't you?
He's right, Ed. So, Mr. Halperin, your cabaret license, everything in order?
What do you guys want from me? I'm just trying to run a club here.
And one of your acts was murdered, a little concern would be nice.
Lucy kept the locker in the back. Does that help?
It's a start.
The detectives are searching the locker.
Headshots, makeup, speeding tickets. There's got to be a dozen of them.
She was in a rush.
Lucy had a car?
Green Beamer. Is that a crime?
Unless bad jokes pay better than I thought.
Figured it was family money.
Hey, look at this. One of those photo citations.
Machines, right? They're going to put you guys out of work.
Lenny and Eddie look at the club owner, who frowns.
Sorry.
You recognize this location?
Eddie furrows his brow.
This is a street light on 54th. Right next to our favorite deli.
Later at the DMV.
Looking for a moment frozen in time.
It's almost poetic.
Yes, so what am I doing in DMV, right?
Just find us something snapped between 12 and 1 on that day, in that corner, with that camera.
The clerk searches on a computer.
Okay, 16 pics in that time span.
Wow, at $100 a pop, we should get a raise.
Tell me about it.
You can blow that up, right?
Already in the works.
An expanded view of the intersection is shown.
That's as good as it's gonna get.
Next.
He scrolls through pictures.
Next. Next. Wait a minute. What's that? Zoom in.
He focuses on a couple standing next to a white car and taking pictures with a video camera.
They gotta be tourists. Who else would want a souvenir of a triple-decker?
More likely looking for celebrities. That place caters to the rich and famous.
Now all we gotta do is put out an APB for two badly dressed out-of-towners.
Ford Focus. My guess it's a rental.
And a rental company would have their local address.
Later with a couple.
New York's just too big for us. Too much of a hullabaloo.
I just got a couple of questions for you, Mrs. Platt.
Oh, we have one for you. Why do they call it the Big Apple? We have apple trees back on the farm.
In New Vienna?
Ohio.
Go figure. All we need is to take a look at the video you shot in front of the deli.
Look, I hate to be rude, but we got a plane to catch. There's only one connecting flight out of Cincinnati.
Mr. Platt, you may have unknowingly filmed evidence of a crime.
Well, we'd love to help you, but we're in a rush.
Let me tell you something. Besides all the hullabaloo here, we also have something called material witness warrants. That means we can keep you here until all those apples grow back.
The Platts look at each other.
We don't have the tape.
Ed, why don't you call Judge Finkel?
No, you don't understand. We really don't have it. We sold it.
To who?
Television people. WEXR?
Now you are going to miss that flight.
Later with Van Buren.
They see the murder on the cover of the Daily News, they figure, what the hell, let's make a buck.
It is the American way.
said they got a shot of three suspicious-looking characters.
Well, if WEXR airs that tape, those characters will know we're onto them and hit the road.
Mm-hmm. There's no way the network is going to turn over that tape.
Well, they might if we show up with a restraining order.
Well, what about Ma and Pa Kettle?
Well, the next plane's in 4 hours. Cut them loose in 3 and a half.
Supreme Court motion hearing.
Pentagon Papers case says it all. No prior restraint on publication or broadcast. You can't issue a restraining order, Judge.
Your Honor, WEXR paid $10,000 for the tape. Clearly, they think it has probative value.
If the Platts were in possession of the tape, I'd concede the people's right to subpoena it, but they're not. My client is, and my client is a legitimate source of news in the community.
In the alternative, Your Honor, we're asking that the people be given a first look.
Pardon me?
We want to view the tape before they go public with it. We'll assure counsel that nobody from our office or the police department will reveal the existence of the tape before it airs.
Well, Mr. Willett, is 24 hours going to put an overly large kink in your colon?
That's not the point, Judge.
Of course, there's always a chance that I linger over the people's application. My clerk gets lost in Westlaw for a couple of days, and your tape becomes yesterday's news, literally.
Willett nods.
Thank you, Your Honor.
People to be provided with a duplicate tape forthwith.
Later.
Hey, shove over. You're blocking the window. I got Woody Allen in the crosshairs.
You, Casey, that's just some other Jew.
The silent majority.
Should stay that way.
Van Buren turns down the volume.
Now, that looks like a plasma TV to me.
In the tape, two men walk behind Mrs. Platt carrying a TV. A tall blonde woman walks by three men.
I thought he was looking for celebrities. Oop, Larry, Moe, and Curly Makes Three.
Looks like Curly's born to peace.
One of the men has something attached to his belt. They continue watching the video as the three men get into a car.
There go our killers.
And we've got less than 23 hours to find them.
Later, Lenny and Eddie are with a technician.
I'm sorry, guys. I can't get the plate or the registration sticker.
DMV's got 2,700 beige explorers in the five boroughs alone.
Yeah, assuming your bad guys are even local.
Eddie studies the video.
Wait, what's there? Right on the front window.
What?
The technician zooms in on a sticker.
Well, it looks like could be a parking permit, something like that.
FDR, Fremont Downs Racetrack. I can't make out the numbers, but it is a parking permit.
I love the ponies.
Later at the racetrack office...
Guys would kill for a pass like that.
Funny you should put it that way.
VIP parking, guy's a box owner. That goes along with a clubhouse pass. If I could make out these numbers, I could tell you who it belongs to.
Can you get us a list of the box owners?
All 300 of them?
Wait, today's the five-borough handicap, right?
Attaboy Bob's running.
I wouldn't want to miss that.
Lenny and Eddie are in their car.
Third race, I gotta go with Ed's Pepper.
You gotta be kidding.
She's a gray. I always bet the gray.
And you wonder why you always lose.
She's got the inside post.
Yeah, man, and the first rule of racing is from the rail to the jail.
Hey, beige explorer.
The car enters a parking lot.
They look familiar?
That's Mo and Larry.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Lenny and Eddie exit their car. They approach the two men.
Hey, bro, who you got in the first?
Siegfried's pal, man.
What the hell?
You just got scratched, my friend.
Lenny holds up his badge as Eddie cuffs them. Later, Eddie is in interrogation with one of the men.
You know what this is, Matt? This is what we call your yellows.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, man.
It says here you got a disorderly conduct from back in 96. What was that? One too many brews and you watered a hydrant?
What's the difference?
The difference is you stepped up into a whole nother league now.
And what league is that?
Elsewhere with Lenny.
Why would I want to kill somebody, man? You out of your skull.
That's beside the point.
Lenny plays the videotape showing the two men carrying the television. The man studies it. When the three men are shown on the tape, Lenny stops it and looks at him.
That don't even look like me.
I checked your sheet, Harold. The worst thing you ever got caught for was turnstile jumping. I don't think you're all that tough.
Why are you wasting my time?
Eddie throws a file on the table.
Your other friend, what's his name?
I got a lot of friends.
Yeah, you got a lot of balls, too. Robbery, murder, add obstruction. You looking at a hat trick, Matt.
Well, ain't nobody rob nobody. Ain't nobody murder nobody.
So Lucy Dolan just gave you that TV?
That's right. She liked this.
So why'd you shoot her?
I didn't. That's why.
In the observation room.
I hope Ed's doing better than I did.
Hear no evil. The SUV belongs to this one.
I guess selling swag is recession-proof.
Well, the box seats at the track belong to his cousin. He owns a shoe store on the Upper East Side. He's out of town for a week.
The only thing my cousin ever gave me was the mumps.
Knock, knock. Andrew Maynard.
Lenny quickly turns off the speaker as Maynard enters.
Pleasure.
Now, if you can just call off the dogs while I talk to my client, Mr. Johnson.
That's Mr. Carton.
Heads, I win. As it turns out, I represent both of these fine gentlemen.
Van Buren enters the interrogation room, followed by Maynard.
Ed.
Sitting in the cavalry, I don't care. I still ain't killed nobody.
This is your lawyer, Einstein.
She shakes her head. Maynard enters and opens his briefcase.
You know who that is? Sergeant Maynard.
Defender of the undefendable. The falsely accused.
And the biggest narcotics dealers in the city.
I doubt these two knuckleheads can pay his tab.
At $800 an hour, who can?
I'm guessing the guy these mopes work for.
The name of the guy who pays the legal fees isn't privileged. My second divorce.
Yeah, and maybe Maynard will give us the name and a guilty plea on a silver platter.
Well, if we hit him with the subpoena, it's going to take 30 days for some judge to decide if we get a name.
There are other ways.
Later, Eddie's wearing a black leather jacket and sunglasses.
Hey, I look like a cop.
You look fine. Have a nice time at the prom. You got your cell phone?
Yeah, man, don't worry. I'll call you if it gets too frisky.
Here he comes.
Maynard's leaving a building.
But seriously, if Maynard comes back, get your ass out of there.
Eddie nods and walks across the street. Shortly after, he's in the lobby of Maynard's law firm.
If you could tell me what this is in reference to, mister.
I'd rather not give my name.
Well, is there a number at which Mr. Maynard can reach you?
See, that's the problem. See, phones are a little bit awkward at the moment.
Well, I really don't know when Mr. Maynard is returning to the office.
You can call him, can't you?
And say what? A guy who won't give me his name wants to see him.
All right, maybe this will help. There's two brothers enjoying the hospitality of a certain city agency.
There are a lot more than two.
Yeah, but Mr. Maynard representing these two. Matter of fact, he went by and visited them today at the behest of one of my colleagues.
Please, have a seat.
Eddie picks up a newspaper and steps away. The receptionist dials the phone.
Hi, Mr. Maynard. No, they didn't call. There's a gentleman heard by Danny Odom. He won't give it to me, says you understand. Can you be here tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.?
Not a problem.
Later, Eddie is pounding on an apartment door.
Police, we have a warrant!
Open up, Mr. Odom, it's the police!
How the hell with it? Use a super's key.
NYPD, last time we asked.
A man steps into the hallway.
Hey, police business, get back inside.
What's going on?
Now!
He steps back into his apartment. Lenny holds his gun as Eddie opens the door. Eddie turns the light on and they step inside. They separate and begin looking around. Lenny turns on another light and puts his gun back in his holster.
Danny's got good taste.
Yeah, you got Lucy Dolan's TV, too.
Hey! What are you doing?
Police, don't move!
Odom reaches for something under his jacket. Eddie slams him against a wall. The two struggle and Eddie wrestles him to the floor.
I said police!
Lenny holds him down as Eddie removes the object.
The cell phone. You okay, partner?
Yeah, I'm great.
Docket number 3395, People V, Cotton, Johnson, and Odom.
Steve Hamp substituting for defendant Johnson.
Yuriko Fujitsa for defendant Carton, Your Honor.
Welcome to one and all. Mr. Maynard, I assume you're here on some official capacity.
Andrew Maynard for Daniel Odom, sir.
Lead on, McDuff.
Charges are one count each. Murder in the first degree, robbery in the first degree.
Please, gentlemen.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty, Your Honor.
Who says consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds?
people on bail?
The defendants are seen on a videotape outside of the victim's building holding her property at the time of her murder.
Judge, the tape is fuzzy at best.
Fuzzy or not, the deceased's property was recovered from Defendant Odom's apartment.
Nice try, Counselor.
Judge, if I may...
No, you may not. Mr. Maynard, your client has multiple priors. He's not going anywhere. Remand all three defendants. Next.
Docket number 37926.
Off the record?
Why not?
We all have a good idea what my client does for a living.
On the record, that's why we're not considering a deal.
Sure, one drug dealer kills another.
Hold on. There's no evidence that Lucy Dolan sold drugs.
Her car, her possessions, her lack of any other source of income.
Well, maybe she had a boyfriend.
Or, perhaps, Danny Odom served as wholesaler, and Ms. Dolan was one of his retailers.
Is this a confession to possession with intent?
Theory. Lucy's marketing skills were falling a little short of expectation. She owed Danny what was quickly becoming a lot of money.
So he killed her?
No.
Lucy Dolan was shot with a .357, Mr. Maynard. Your client did 3 years for assault with a .357.
And do you know why you can't find a murder weapon? Because Danny never had it. This was strictly business. And like any other transaction, after some negotiation, she offered collateral to secure her loan.
The plasma screen TV.
There you go.
And the murder?
It happened after my client and his colleagues went their merry way.
You should write fiction, Mr. Maynard. First off, your client has multiple violent felonies. Second, he should thank his lucky stars he didn't get shot resisting arrest.
In which case, I would be initiating a wrongful death suit instead of merely a federal civil rights action.
Detective Green thought Mr. Odom was reaching for a weapon.
He was reaching for his cell to dial 911. He thought he was being robbed.
Oh, come on.
Jury can be a strange and empathetic beast, Miss Sutherland. Now, taking all of the relevant facts and putting them into perspective, I have the distinct feeling that we could make this federal case go
away. I'm busy, Mr. Maynard.
Jack turns away. Maynard looks at Serena and leaves. Later at the precinct.
Damn cell phone.
Odom is a known dealer.
I got a history, ma'am.
You two in my office.
Lenny and Eddie follow Van Buren.
Shut the door.
Eddie closes the door.
You're on desk.
Hey, a week or so tops, it'll all be straightened out.
Excuse me, both of you. You were the only witness. Odom names the city, the department, and you individually in his suit. He claims you profiled him.
Right. He's a drug dealer and a murderer.
And he's black.
Have you looked at me recently?
Van Buren holds up her finger.
He also claims that you never identified yourselves as cops.
Come on, I said police.
And the icing on the cake is the pounding he took with snapshots to prove it.
She shows Eddie photos of Odom's bruised face. He glances at Lenny. Van Buren throws the photos on her desk and folds her arms. Later in Arthur's office.
Tell me, did I wake up on the wrong side of the looking glass this morning? A black cop under investigation by a white U.S. attorney for beating a black suspect.
Times, they are changing.
Yep. And this Detective Green certainly adds another layer to the cake. True or false? The sole purpose of a government and all its agents is to protect the citizenry.
Sole purpose? No.
Okay, the primary purpose then. Once we establish that Detective Green's actions were not racially motivated, then we must conclude that they were just another desperate example of our government failing in its most basic function.
Or they were an example of a man resorting to a primal instinct, self-preservation.
Detective Green thought Odom was reaching for a gun.
Was a hell of an argument, though, don't you think?
Actually, Maynard is reaching back to Trial Tricks 101. He's using the federal civil rights action as leverage to try to make us back off the criminal case.
Which you're not going to do.
Murder one? I don't think so.
Well, as it turns out, I took a more advanced version of that very same class. We'll see who has leverage when the day is done.
Later, Arthur's holding a news conference.
The arrests of Carton, Johnson, and Odom, repeat offenders all, followed an investigation by Detectives Briscoe and Green, whose lieutenant, Anita Van Buren, supervise the inquiry. The people of this city owe these officers a debt of gratitude. It is the conclusion of this office, based on the particular circumstances of this crime and the overwhelming evidence of guilt, that the death penalty, although very rarely sought in this county, is appropriate. Lucy Dolan's murder was brutal, intentional, and pointless. Our hearts go out to her loved ones. Now I'll take your questions.
Van Buren's waiting in the hallway.
Mr. Branch, I was just coming to see you.
Go on ahead. What can I do for you, Lieutenant?
I saw your news conference.
Yes, I thought it went well.
Well, I understand all about PR, sir, but I think you may have gone just a bit overboard on this one.
To quote a great legal scholar, so what? The two nice ones carry the TV while the surly one does the shooting. Any way you deal the cards, Lieutenant, it's your garden variety felony murder, punishable by death in this state. Besides, I think you'd favor this course of action.
You know what my problem is? If we fry Carton and Johnson, the next time my officers find themselves in a similar situation, the bad guys may just shoot to kill. What the hell? They'd be facing the death penalty anyway.
You want to talk next time? What about the next time three punks hit a 7-Eleven? You want the two without the gun to get a pass when their buddy blows the cashier's face off? That's not the message I want to send for all the next times. And in case you miss the obvious, I'm trying to save the career of one of your officers.
Maybe his isn't the only career being saved. The federal case could sway the jury in your murder trial. And we both know a DA can't get reelected in this city if he can't convict three men caught on tape, leaving the scene with the victim's property in their arms.
You know, Lieutenant, in the end, a man's motives are secondary to his accomplishments.
That same great legal scholar.
That's right. Me.
Arthur walks away. Later in a coffee shop.
I take it you don't care for the new DA's tactics on this one.
Do you?
I think he's just flexing. If it works, we'll be able to put Odom and his crew behind bars and keep Green on the street.
Anyway, the commissioner, with no ifs, ands, or buts, said no one from my precinct could look into Green's case.
That's the drill, isn't it?
See, the thing is, Briscoe said Odom had a neighbor across the hall who was kind of nosy when they first showed up.
And no one's talked to him?
No one got the right answers.
Office of Dale Franks.
Why play games, Mr. Franks? We both know you heard them announce themselves as police officers when they first arrived.
Maybe I did, and maybe I didn't. Who can say for sure?
If you're afraid of Odom, we'll take care of you.
You think I don't read the papers? I know what happens to people who testify against gangsters. Somehow their houses burn down, their kids disappear.
What the papers leave out is that I can be equally dangerous, Mr. Franks.
I'll take my chances.
Serena starts to leave.
I used to date a CPA.
How nice for you. Now, if you don't mind.
Sure, why talk now when we can finish this discussion in front of a grand jury?
Look, I know enough law to know that you can't force me to testify.
That's right, but I can cite you for contempt. And a contempt conviction in New York is a felony. Did you know that? And with a felony on your record, I'm afraid you'll lose that accounting license. This nice office.
Frank glances away. Later with Arthur.
Mr. Franks gave one hell of a deposition. Turns out you heard Briscoe yell, "Police don't move."
Did the U.S. attorney find him credible?
He found, and I quote, "there were no grounds for charges against the arresting officers."
Which destroys Maynard's leverage. I'll wait till morning to call him. Let him try to sleep thinking his client is facing a lethal injection.
The sun coming up changes things?
How? I thought we threatened capital punishment just to get some leverage of our own.
No, we did. Although, thanks to Serena, we didn't need it.
Jack and Serena look at each other.
You should know, Arthur, I don't like being sandbagged by anyone.
Well, that's good. For a minute, I thought I was going to get an earful of morality.
Two of our defendants are being accused of their first felony. For all we know, they didn't even realize Odom had a weapon.
Your point being?
Putting somebody to death for stealing a television is reprehensible.
Vox clamatus from the moral left.
With all due respect, I'm talking about constitutionality, or rather the lack of it. A death sentence for Carton or Johnson would be cruel and unusual punishment.
We threaten the death penalty every day to get one defendant to roll over on another. Now, those threats become meaningless if we never actually use it
Maybe the governor of Illinois was right in imposing a moratorium on capital punishment. People do make mistakes.
Only it seems to me we've got enough evidence for two cases on this one. The only thing we don't have is a busload of nuns as eyewitnesses. I mean, am I wrong? Do we know these punks are guilty or don't we?
They're guilty, but Arthur, are you sure this is the best case for you to prove a point?
You don't like to be sandbagged. I don't like the race card thrown in my face.
Hey.
Well, you've got to admit you're not the typical New York City district attorney.
20 years here and still the carpetbagger.
My point is, this decision may not sit that well with a large portion of the state.
You worry about the law, I'll worry about the politics.
Arthur sits.
Is there anything else?
Serena shakes her head. She and Jack leave. Later in Jack's office...
It's political suicide, but it is his choice.
So we just go in our trigger-happy way until the next election.
The man is a district attorney, not Attila the Hun. Every case will be judged on its own merit.
And this case?
How often do we have the defendants on video, Serena? Or find a crime scene covered in fingerprints, or the stolen goods in the defendant's apartment? How often is someone killed for a television set?
Serena raises her eyebrows.
To me, that pretty much defines heinous.
And if Maynard was right and Lucy Dolan was really a drug dealer?
Maynard can't put any of her hypothetical clients on the stand. And there's no way he lets any of his defendants testify. All in all, I don't think we have to worry about that.
Supreme Court, Trial Part 73.
Ms. Dolan's apartment was dusted for fingerprints by the crime scene unit.
The result?
Mr. Carton and Mr. Johnson's prints were found on the coffee table, here. Mr. Odom's palm print on a surface behind the entertainment center.
Could you demonstrate how a palm print could come to be in that location?
If you were removing a unit, say here.
That would be the plasma TV already marked as People's 3?
That's correct, yeah. From the center, you'd have to lean here to detach the cables and so on.
Yes.
Thank you. All of this... to prove that the defendants were actually in Ms. Dolan's apartment. Hell, we would have stipulated to that fact. Mr. Beck, does any of this prove that the television set was stolen?
It was taken off the wall.
That wasn't my question.
No.
That's all.
The jury watches.
Anything else?
Nothing, Judge.
Nothing on behalf of Mr. Carton, Your Honor.
Mrs. Dolan testifies.
My daughter never gave me a moment's grief, and she never harmed anyone in her life. She was a kind, decent person. She didn't deserve to die like that.
Nobody does.
Objection.
Sustained. This is a courtroom, Mr. McCoy, not an op-ed column.
Mrs. Dolan, how often did you speak with Lucy?
Oh, several times a week.
Did she ever mention a friend named Danny Odom?
No.
At Carton?
No.
Harry Johnson?
No.
So as far as you know, these men I just mentioned had no legitimate reason to be in her apartment.
None that I know of.
Thank you.
Your daughter was hardworking.
She tried, sir. Very hard, yes.
But honestly, ma'am, she wasn't successful as an actress or singer or comedian.
It takes time.
Yes, it does. Did you know that at the time of your daughter's death, she owned approximately $50,000 worth of stereo equipment?
Yes, the police told me.
And did they tell you that she also owned a late model BMW worth in the neighborhood of $60,000?
You know what it's like to inherit from your daughter?
I truly have sympathy for you, Mrs. Dolan. But could you please answer my question?
Yes. The police told me about the car.
In her tax returns filed for the last 3 years, she shows no significant income. She had no credit card, no bank account. Do you have any idea how she bought those items?
No. People loved her. Maybe someone.
Or maybe she was selling drugs. Objection. No foundation.
Withdrawn.
Your Honor.
Jury will disregard.
Thank you for your honesty, Mrs. Solon. I appreciate how difficult this has been.
Counselors.
No questions for this witness?
Not me, Your Honor.
Jack shakes his head.
Specifically, my field is forensic accounting. I determine the worth of businesses, usually for purposes of litigation or matrimonial matters.
At my request, Mr. Pavulis, did you evaluate the worth of Lucy Dolan's enterprise?
Again, no foundation. Actually, I can't help with that.
Let's hear what you got.
This chart helps establish what we call a PBA, a pattern of business activity. The enormous volume of phone calls over the past 5 months is a clear indication of business activity.
And the underlying data was derived from Lucy Dolan's home phone?
No, it's a cellular phone, but the same principles apply.
Go on.
When this phone activity is viewed in light of Ms. Dolan's net worth as determined by her tangible assets, such as automobiles, home furnishings, personal property, I see not just a going concern, but a thriving one.
And could you determine what kind of business Ms. Dolan was involved in?
No, but if I had to guess, based on the voluminous cell phone use and the hours of the incoming calls, I'd say it was something perhaps not legal.
Drugs,
perhaps.
And have you ever analyzed a narcotics business before, Mr. Pavulis?
Yes, I've been hired by the FBI on several occasions, and this fits the profile.
Could this pattern also apply to some other home business, such as, say, selling Tupperware?
Yes.
Thank you.
Maynard shifts in his seat. At the DA's office.
Come on, I'll buy you a drink.
Sure, why not start the celebration early?
Why not relax after a long day in court?
Serena solemnly looks at Jack, then turns away.
Fine.
Jack starts to leave.
You know, every Christmas, my father used to drag us to St. Bartholomew's for midnight mass. It was literally filled to the brim.
There's a lot of guilt that time of year.
But the thing that I remember most was the walk home after the service. Rain or snow, it didn't matter. We still walked. And all the way home, the only thing I could think about was what's wrong with me. Why aren't I like all of those people who actually believe the words that they're singing?
Maybe it was the eggnog your Uncle Harry slipped you.
I'm being serious, Jack. My point is, right now, I'm more convinced than ever that this job would be a lot easier if I was one of those people from St. Bart's. At least then, making a decision about taking a man's life wouldn't be so excruciating.
Because there'd be a rule that the death penalty is always wrong.
A lot of people believe that.
Leaving only us heathens to struggle through the muck and mire of a world that's doused in gray.
What if we're wrong? Do Matt Carton and Harry Johnson deserve to die just because we can squeeze what they did into some statute?
Yeah, mistakes. I try not to make them.
He steps toward her.
But like they say at St. Bart's, we're all sinners, so we all make mistakes. That's why they have a judge and a defense attorney. It ain't pretty, but I can live with it.
It's a cop-out.
She turns away from him, and he leaves. Later, Maynard addresses the jury.
Three black men caught on tape loading a plasma screen TV into an SUV. They must be killers. Three black men in the victim's apartment. They must have been there to kill her. That's the people's case. They don't have a murder weapon. They say they have a motive, but do they? A room full of expensive equipment, and all that was taken was a television set. The people's case is laughable. They want you to ignore the fact that Lucy Dolan herself may have been dealing drugs. They want you to forget the fact that no motive and no weapon should always leave us with no conviction.
Maynard walks back to his seat as the Dolans watch.
The defense admits the defendants were at the scene of the crime. They had to. We had their fingerprints all over Lucy Dolan's walls. The defense admits that the defendants carried Miss Dolan's television from her apartment at or near the time of her murder. They had to. We had them on video. They can slander the victim as much as they like, with charts and graphs and assumptions. Where I come from, 1 + 1 does not equal 3.
As Jack remains standing in front of the jury, a female juror looks away. Jack walks back to his seat. Later, Hanft and Fujitsa are in Jack's office.
Thank you for coming.
Why wouldn't we? The fact that you asked us here leads me to believe you're not all that confident.
Quite the opposite, Mr. Hanft. We're very confident.
We're trying to keep your clients alive.
The fact is, Danny Odom's ship is sinking. Considering the time and the place in history, if your clients stay on board, they're looking at a lethal injection.
Fujitsa looks down.
It's not worth rolling the dice.
We are just following our clients' directions.
And what law schools did they go to?
The ones that tell them innocent people don't get convicted.
You actually believe them?
No. But it's not my decision to make.
That's right. Mr. Maynard is running the show.
We're done.
The two defense attorneys leave. Jack looks at Serena. Supreme Court, Trial Part 73.
Has the jury reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor. As to defendant Harry Johnson, we find him guilty of murder in the first degree. As to defendant Matthew Carton, guilty of murder in the first degree. As to defendant Daniel Odom, guilty of murder in the first degree.
So say you all?
Yes, Judge.
The jury is temporarily excused. The sentencing phase of the proceedings to commence a week from today.
Mrs. Dolan sighs.
Matthew!
Jack looks across the courtroom as a woman hugs him. Serena watches, then starts to leave.
Congratulations.
Jack remains in the courtroom. Matt kisses the woman's cheek, and a court officer escorts him away. Later, Jack's studying the graph of Lucy Dolan's phone usage.
You're the one who said that this case was a slam dunk. Why are you working overtime on sentencing?
What did that forensic accountant say about Dolan's incoming phone activity?
That it was an enormous volume. Why?
Common sense says it should have stayed roughly the same at first, tapering off as word got out that Lucy was no longer in business. But look at this here in her phone records. Wherever this says, called once every couple of days for months. But he never once called if she was murdered.
He knew she was dead.
Call Van Buren.
Later, Lenny holds his gun as Eddie knocks on an apartment door.
It's open, Frankie.
They enter with their guns drawn. Drug paraphernalia is on the coffee table.
Ernest Borges?
A man's lying on a couch.
I don't like surprises.
Well, you're gonna hate this one. Get up.
Eddie takes his arm.
Ernest Borges, you're under arrest for, among other things, the murder of Lucy Dolan. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say, can it will be held against you in a court of law.
Ballistics came back on the gun from Borges' apartment. It's the murder weapon.
His lawyer's already itching for a sit-down.
And we can't find a connection between Borges and Odom, Carton, or Johnson.
You filed the appropriate papers for the release?
In the works. Maynard was so busy slandering Lucy Dolan, he forgot to do his homework.
Truth is, I always thought either Carton or Johnson would roll on Odom.
Are you saying that all of this was part of Trial Tricks 102?
That or a big juicy mea culpa.
All three of them should put Serena on their Christmas card list.
I just wish that there was a way to prevent all of this from happening again.
There is. Move to Illinois.
I think he's pulling your leg, Serena.
You know, this whole affair makes you think twice.
About the death penalty.
Arthur purses his lips.
How about a word about your stake?
He leaves.
Come on, we'll split a cab.
No, I'll walk.
Jack and Serena leave.